على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. الله الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام أتوب إليه. اللهم كن وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله، السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله، السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين وابن سيد الوصيين، السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين، السلام عليك يا وثار الله وابن ثاره والوتر الموت، السلام عليك وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. يا أبا عبد الله لقد عظمت الرزية وجلت وعظمت المصيبة بك علينا وعلى جميع أهل الإسلام، وجلت وعظمت مصيبتك في السماوات على جميع أهل السماوات. فلعن الله أمة أسست أساس الظلم والجور عليكم أهل البيت، ولعن الله أمة دفعتكم عن مقامكم وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها، ولعن الله أمة قتلتكم، ولعن الله الممهدين لهم بالتمكين من قتالكم. برئت إلى الله وإليكم منهم ومن أشياعهم وأتباعهم وأوليائهم. يا أبا عبد الله إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم إلى يوم القيامة. ولعن الله آل زياد وآل مروان، ولعن الله بني أمية قاطبة، ولعن الله ابن مرجانة ولعن الله عمر بن سعد ولعن الله شمر ولعن الله أمة أسرجت وألجمت وتنقبت لقتالك بأبي أنت وأمي لقد عظم مصابي بك فأسأل الله الذي أكرم مقامك وأكرمني بك أن يرزقني طلب ثارك مع إمام منصور من أهل بيت محمد صلى الله عليه وآله. اللهم اجعلني عندك وجيها بالحسين عليه السلام في الدنيا والآخرة يا أبا عبد الله، إني أتقرب إلى الله وإلى رسوله وإلى أمير المؤمنين وإلى فاطمة وإلى الحسن وإليك بموالاتك وبالبراءة ممن أسس أساس ذلك وبنى عليه بنيانه وجرى في ظلمه وجوره عليكم وعلى أشياعكم. برئت إلى الله وإليكم منهم وأتقرب إلى الله ثم إليكم بموالاتكم وموالاة وليكم وبالبراءة من أعدائكم والناصبين لكم الحرب وبالبراءة من أشياعهم وأتباعهم، إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم وولي لمن والاكم وعدو لمن عاداكم. فأسأل الله الذي أكرمني بمعرفتكم ومعرفة أوليائكم ورزقني البراءة من أعدائكم أن يجعلني معكم في الدنيا والآخرة وأن يثبت لي عندكم قدم صدق في الدنيا والآخرة، وأسأله أن يبلغني المقام المحمود لكم عند الله وأن يرزقني طلب ثاركم مع إمام هدى ظاهر ناطق بالحق منكم، وأسأل الله بحقكم وبالشأن الذي لكم عنده أن يعطيني بمصابي بكم أفضل ما يعطي مصابا بمصيبته، مصيبة ما أعظمها وأعظم رزيتها في الإسلام وفي جميع السماوات والأرض. اللهم اجعلني في مقامي هذا ممن تناله منك صلوات ورحمة ومغفرة. اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد. اللهم إن يوم عاشورا يوم تبركت به بنو أمية وابن آكلة الأكباد اللعين ابن اللعين على لسانك ولسان نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله في كل موطن وموقف وقف فيه نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله. اللهم لعن أبا سفيان ومعاوية ويزيد ابن معاوية عليهم منك اللعنة أبد الآبدين. ويوم عاشورا يوم فرحت به آل زياد وآل مروان بقتلهم الحسين صلوات الله عليه. اللهم فضاعف عليهم اللعنة منك والعذاب الأليم. اللهم إني أتقرب إليك في هذا اليوم وفي موقفي هذا وأيام حياتي بالبراءة منهم واللعنة عليهم وبالموالاة لنبيك وآل نبيك عليه وعليهم السلام. اللهم لعن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد وآخر تابع له على ذلك. اللهم لعن العصابة التي جاهدت الحسين وشايعت وبايعت وتابعت على قتله. اللهم لعنهم جميعا. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. اللهم خص أنت أول ظالم باللعن مني، وابدأ به أولاً ثم لعن الثانية والثالثة والرابع. اللهم لعن يزيد خامساً، ولعن عبيد الله بن زياد وابن مرجان وعمر بن سعد وشمرا وآل أبي سفيان وآل زياد وآل مروان إلى يوم القيامة. سجدة. اللهم لك الحمد حمد الشاكرين لك على مصابهم، الحمد لله على عظيم رزيتي. اللهم ارزقني شفاعة الحسين يوم الورود، وثبت لي قدم صدق عندك مع الحسين وأصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام. صلوات.
بر محمد و آل محمد صلوات. بار دیگر بلندتر صلوات. اللهم صل على محمد.
کہتے تھے شہیدی میرے عباس کہاں ہو، عباس کہاں ہو، عباس کہاں ہو. کہتے تھے شہیدی میرے عباس کہاں ہو، عباس کہاں ہو، عباس کہاں ہو. تنہا ہوں کھڑا دشتے بھلا میں، بھرا کر دیکھو ذرا آ کر پالا تھا جنہیں نازوں سے سوتے ہیں کہاں وہ عباس کہاں ہو عباس کہاں ہو کہتے تھے شہیدی میرے عباس کہاں ہو عباس کہاں ہو عباس کہاں ہو دیکھتا نہیں اب آنکھوں سے ہر سو ہے اندھیرا دم رکتا ہے میرا دم رکتا ہے میرا دیتا ہے صدائیں علی اکبر میرا مجھ کو عباس کہاں ہو عباس کہاں ہو کہتے تھے شہیدی میرے عباس کہاں ہو عباس کہاں ہو عباس کہاں ہو سینے میں جوان لال کے برچھی کی انی ہے تھراتی زمین ہے تھراتی زمین ہے الجھا ہوا برچی میں نہ اکبر کا جگر ہو عباس کہاں ہو عباس کہاں ہو سینے سے سینہ کھینچ کے اکبر کے سرانے اس دشت بلا میں اس دشت بلا میں تکتا ہوں بسد یا سے دم توڑتے اس کو عباس کہاں ہو عباس کہاں ہو کہتے تھے شہیدی میرے عباس کہاں ہو، عباس کہاں ہو، عباس کہاں ہو، ہاتھوں پہ اگلتا ہے لہو اصغر بیشی، گردن پہ لگاتی گردن پہ لگاتی، کیا کہہ کے تسلی دوں میں در پر کھڑی ماں کو، عباس کہاں ہو، عباس کہاں ہو، ننی سی لحد میں علی اصغر کو لٹا کر مٹی میں سلا کر، مٹی میں سلا کر، اٹھتا ہوں کبھی گرتا ہوں، تھامے ہوئے دل کو، عباس کہاں ہو، عباس کہاں ہو، کہتے تھے شہیدی میرے عباس کہاں ہو، عباس کہاں ہو، عباس کہاں ہو، چلتی رہی گردن پہ چھری دیکھ رہی تھی زینب نے صدا دی، زینب نے صدا دی، سوکھا ہے گلا بھائی کا پانی تو پلا دو، عباس کہاں ہو، عباس کہاں ہو، کہتے تھے شہیدی میرے عباس کہاں ہو، عباس کہاں ہو، عباس کہاں ہو،
درود بھیجی محمد آل محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا سيد الخلق أجمعين، حبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين، أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد. For his health and well-being, let's recite the second one louder. اللهم صل على محمد. Inshallah, each and every one of us becomes a true and close companion of that Imam. Let's recite the third one even louder. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal farajahum. We said that this Muharram, our theme is to know Imam al-Hussein. And we've tried to look at some of the events that took place before the death of Muawiyah, after the death of Muawiyah, when the movement of the Imam begins towards Kufa and the rebellion of the Imam against Yazid. We can never do justice. There's always more to explore and to dig deeper and analyze more and understand more. And we hope that Imam al-Hussein salamullah alayh, he himself guides us to what he considers most beneficial to us these days of his personality and what he went through and what he did, what he stood for. What I want to discuss, and I think I've discussed it before, but I think it's important, is Imam al-Hussein salamullah alayhi on the night of Ashura saying that I lift my bay'ah. We have accounts that suggest that Imam al-Hussein on the night of Ashura told his companions that were with him that I lift my bay'ah from you. You can leave. This is worthy of attention. It's something that we should think of. An imam, a leader, has accepted companions and their allegiance, their bay'ah, with him to fight Yazid, to be with him, to help him, to assist him. Then the night before the battle, Imam al-Hussein says, the bay'ah is lifted. Whoever wants to leave, go ahead and leave. You don't have any obligation from the perspective of the bay'ah to remain here. If that's why you're here, you don't have any obligation. Go ahead and leave. In fact, according to the account, he has said, go ahead and take my family members as well. This is what the account says. I don't know. We weren't there. What we have always heard is that the Imam added that to it as well. But the focus and the emphasis here is the bay'ah lifted. Why does the Imam do this? What is Imam al-Hussein salamullah alayhi intending with this? What is he trying to do? This divine leader, this Imam, whose responsibility that God has given him is to guide mankind, guide people, guide the ummah of the Prophet during the period of time that he's on earth, after Imam al-Mujtaba until his Shahada, the Imam who has seen it right to rise in rebellion against Yazid and now has brought his companions all the way over here, the night of Ashura, that it's imminent, it's clear, it's so clear beyond a shadow of a doubt that tomorrow there will be a battle. Oh, you brought all your companions here. Now tonight you say the bay'ah is lifted. Well, if you're going to lift the bay'ah, then why keep the bay'ah up to this night? Why bring them all the way here? And then on the night of Ashura say, you can leave, it's up to you. The bay'ah is lifted, turn off the lights. What is this? Why does the Imam do this? What's the objective of it? What comes to mind is that this is not a simple matter or an emotional one, like a Bollywood movie that, oh, you all leave, they just want me. No, it doesn't work that way. That's not how it is. Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi is an imam guided by Allah. Whatever he says and does is guided by Allah. There's a reason, there's a purpose, there's an objective. It clearly doesn't mean that Imam al-Husayn thinks now at this point that, okay, I brought you here, this is an error, get up and leave. We ended up here, I thought this is going to happen or the other is going to happen. Now that it's not going to happen, the bay'ah is lifted, get up and leave, save yourselves. Well, that's definitely not the objective. How can we tell what the objective is? One of the ways that we can tell what the purpose of this statement of Imam al-Husayn was, one of the ways we can try to have an idea of why this happened is what happens as a result of this. The Imam says, my bay'ah is lifted, you can leave, turns off the light, don't feel shy. If there's anything that is causing you not to go, you want to go. If it's the bay'ah, if it's shyness, whatever, the bay'ah is lifted, the lights are out, get up, leave, no one will know that you're leaving. Feel comfortable. Then he lit the lights back up. And the ones who were there, which we said, there's two views on this. Some say on that night nobody left. Whoever had stayed up to that night stayed. The ones that wanted to leave had left before that night. And we said, we think this is a more accurate view. But there is another view that says, no, some people left that night. Regardless, those that remained, whoever remained, after the lights were lit up again, Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayh tells them that tomorrow, you know, there's shahada that was already mentioned. He shows them where they will be in paradise, which is another very important thing. These are not normal, they are not average either. Meaning the guidance of the Imam, these decisions that the Imam makes to treat his companions in this way, these are not the way he would treat an average person. This is guidance from the Imam, from Allah through the Imam, for those who've come this far. These are believers that have been through so much and they have arrived here on this night in the tent of Imam al-Husayn. They have passed a lot of tests, very difficult tests. Others have not reached this point. Others did not pass those tests. When they passed all those tests, on the night of Ashura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to elevate the souls of these companions of the Imam through the guidance of Imam al-Husayn. He takes these measures that are not normal. These are particular to these people, this group of people that have been able to ascend, to pass these difficult tests and get here. This is a general, let me elaborate on this point itself, that we need to understand that an average believer goes through average tests, the ahkam that we read, the basic prayer, the hajj, the fasting, muharramat, halal, haram, all these different things that are basic. Going through them, adhering to them, that's the basic, the average, if we get to that level. If we get to that level. I personally have trouble struggling with those basics. But it's important to know that there's things beyond that. These were not average believers. They were not people that were dealing with whether I'm going to wake up for the fajr prayer or not, I'm going to commit this small sin or not. They're past that. They have been able to accomplish so much on the night of Ashura, they've ended up in the tent of Imam al-Husayn. Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi wants to elevate him. He does something, which is he lifts his bay'ah and says, leave. Afterwards, he tells them, I'm going to show you where your place is in paradise. And he shows it to them on that night. That itself is important too. But right now the focus is this lifting of the bay'ah. When we see that result, that Imam gives them something after they decide to stay despite the bay'ah being lifted, we realize that this was a test, not a basic test. Not a test to see if this person is an average believer or not. Those are very basic tests. And by test, we mean the Quranic term of that, the baliya that are mentioned, لِنَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, to test you, to try you, to see which of you is best. These trials that وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ, the ibtilaat that Ibrahim went through, the purpose of those is to elevate the status of Ibrahim. So when we say test, this isn't, we're trying to see if this guy is with us or isn't with us. That's not the idea of the test. They've already established that they're here. He wants to give them another step, elevate them another level. But it is a test, meaning there is something. There are two options that are given here. One is to stay and the other is to leave. If you are here for the basic reason of keeping your promise, keeping your bay'ah that you had, the allegiance you had given me that you will stay with me, I'm lifting that on this night. I'm lifting that. You are no longer obligated from that perspective to stay here. You can leave. And that's very serious. If at that night anyone would have left there, okay, based on the Imam telling them the bay'ah is lifted, they wouldn't have committed anything. The Imam said there's no bay'ah, the bay'ah is lifted. Those who didn't come this far, they didn't even pledge that allegiance, it's a different story. They should have come, they didn't come. That night the Imam said the bay'ah is lifted. Whoever wants to go can go. He doesn't expect them to stay from that perspective. Those who stayed for something beyond a bay'ah to Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi. If they stayed, it wasn't because there was an obligation of fulfilling a bay'ah, a pledge of allegiance, just because I pledged I will stay with you, that now I'm staying because of that. Recite salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala The level of the action, the sacrifice, staying with the Imam on that night, simply because of the bay'ah, would have been an act on a certain level, an average believer's act of remaining with their pledge of allegiance, with of course all the sacrifices they've already made. It's not low, it's great, but it's on that level. Imam al-Hussein, by lifting that, allows them to think of their options and for them to know that on this level they don't have an obligation. It's their choice. Want to go, go. Why would they stay? This is something that I think if we understand, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us, if Imam al-Hussein intercedes and we're able to process this together and have an understanding of, it'll help us. It'll help our connection with the 12th Imam, Jalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Allahumma salli. The good ones from amongst us, the good ones from amongst us, they feel an obligation in terms of the support of the Ahlul Bayt, the Imam of our time. At times of difficulty, please pay very careful attention. I'm saying the good ones of us, we continue on that path at times of difficulty because of the feeling that this is an obligation. Why do I say those, put those words there to define what we're saying? The good ones. The ones of us that are not the better ones, at times when it's difficult, they easily leave. They don't even come. They don't even join. What happened to 18,000 people who pledged allegiance to Imam al-Hussein in Kufa? They pledged allegiance. They were good people, relatively. But they're not good enough that what we said the good from amongst us, when the difficult times come, we feel an obligation. And because we feel that obligation, we move forward, we do what we need to do, whatever difficulty we see in it. But those of us who are not at that level, even if we're relatively okay people, relatively good people, we are willing to pledge allegiance, we read Dua al-Ahd, you know, Dua al-Ahd, in it, we're pledging allegiance to the Imam of our time. Every time we read it, Allahumma inni ujaddudu lahu fi hadha al-yawm wa fi mawqifi hadha wa ayyam hayati. I'm renewing on this day my bay'ah, my pledge of allegiance. The average person, we say this, we say we pledge this allegiance. When difficult times come, we're not there. We're not even there. We'll find excuses. We'll find excuses, just like the people, 18,000 people in Kufa that pledged allegiance, they found excuses. Whatever the excuses. The good ones from amongst us, though, when we have those conditions, those difficult conditions, we push ourselves beyond our limits. Why? Because we feel an obligation. That's good. That's not a bad thing. That's very good. But that's not the highest a person can go. That's not the highest level that a person can go, to just push themselves because they feel this obligation that's on their shoulders, while they dislike it, while they rather not be there. They feel the difficulty, they feel the pain, they don't like that situation, they don't like to be there. But there's another motive, And that is feeling that obligation, their belief in God, and that God is telling them they need to stay. They push themselves, they stay there. That's a good thing. That's great, right? But this is not the highest we can get. Imam al-Hussein is taking his companions that have come thus far based on this obligation. He's giving them an opportunity for them to choose to be there for a reason beyond a basic obligation. That obligation is very serious, right? The obligation of the bay'ah with your imam. The imam says, come. You come because he has told you that's his command. That's not a small matter. I'm not trying to say it's something small. But compared to what's above it, it's low. Compared to what's more than that, it's low. A person can go through the most difficult of tasks, not based on an obligation pushing themselves, rather based on love. They want that. There's a time you push yourself in the case of a hardship, you really dislike it. Let me give an example. Obedient children that have very rebellious natures inside, they fight that rebellious nature. The father, mother says, do this. They hate to be told to do whatever it is. But they push themselves. They do it anyway. They hate doing it, but they'll do it. Okay. This is a bad example, of course. Because a good believer doesn't hate it. They're just really hurt by it and they wish they didn't have to do it. But this person, this child that I think all of us, I think I'm one of those myself. We've been through that. Hopefully things have changed. Really dislike being told to do whatever it is, but we push ourselves. Okay, I'll do it. This is doing it because we feel there's an obligation. I keep telling myself, okay, I'm told I need to try to in cases where it's not, they're not pushing me to do haram, they're not pushing away from wajib, it's better for me to try to comply, whatever the guidance we've heard. Like, okay, it's better for me to do it. Allah likes this, I do this. I don't like it, but I do it. This is doing it based on the feeling that there's an obligation. Then there's another example. A person sees the difficulty, feels the pain, you know, the sword cuts. There's no joke about that. We don't know what it feels. I don't know if all of us here have had the blessing of getting their skin at least partially cut in the kitchen doing work or outside doing work, you get your finger, your hand, some cut somehow, sometimes deep cuts, it's painful. It hurts. It's really bad. The battlefield is a lot worse. What you see is about to happen is not going to be now turning into fireworks or something pleasant. No, it's you know what it is. You know it's difficult. You know there's pain involved. But what's your inner feeling towards receiving that pain, wanting that pain? And why do you want it? Imam al-Hussein salamullah alayhi wants to allow them by saying you leave and they want me and I'm staying. He's showing them what Allah wants is to stay. Otherwise, why would Hussein stay and tell you all leave? He said the bay'ah is lifted. From the perspective of bay'ah, leave. Not that the better choice is for you to leave. No, the better choice isn't that. By him remaining in Karbala, he's clarifying divine guidance is best to stay, but don't stay for the bay'ah that you pledged, the pledge of allegiance. Don't stay for that reason. If that's the reason, you don't need to stay. You've already done what you needed. You've passed that test. You don't need to do that. If you like to stay, stay for something else. Stay because Allah likes this. Allah, Imam al-Hussein, at the beginning of this journey said this. When they said, oh, you're going to get killed. He said, Allah wants to see me killed. Allah wants that. What is this abid of Allah, Hussein ibn Ali, salamullah alayh? The ubudiyyah of Imam al-Hussein is not on the level of the body doing what Allah wants. A lot of times that's what we're doing. I'm refraining from sin. I'm dying to do it internally though. I love the sin. I'm pushing myself not to do it. That's good for a low-level believer. Don't go and say, okay, you know, since I feel so strong to do it, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. No, that's not the idea here. But that's a low level of ubudiyyah. It's only on the superficial level. My body, I will not say that wrong. I want to say all the curse words in the world to this person now. But I'm stopping my... In my head, I'm telling them all of that. I'm rehearsing what I will tell them. I'm saying that from experience. In my head, all the curse words I know. But then, in terms of actually pronouncing those words, it's like, God doesn't like, okay. I'll bite my tongue, I won't say it. The level of ubudiyyah of someone like Hussein ibn Ali is on all levels. If Allah wants this, Allah likes this, Hussein likes it. Hussein wants to do it because Allah... Is it something that your body will enjoy, your feelings, your nerves, you're getting cut. You're getting pierced with arrows, with spears. Allah, what does this even mean? Why does God like? There's a lot of questions that may come from this. Think about all those, try to find answers. I'm presenting something that we have in our ahadith. Ibrahim was referred to as Khalil of Allah, the friend of God. Okay. The reasons are the internal feeling this person has towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are such that whatever it is that God wants, God told him, kill your own son. He didn't hesitate. He didn't have an issue with that. Allah didn't want his son to get killed. He didn't. It didn't happen. But are you willing, if God says that, are you willingly going to do that? Imam al-Hussein willingly went to Karbala knowing that he, his Ali al-Asghar, his Ali al-Akbar, his Abbas, his Qasim, his Abdullah ibn Hassan, all the men, including that 6-month-old, will be killed. He took them there. He knew it. He saw it. He did all of that, not pushing himself, disliking it. God likes that. I like it. When it hits me, it'll hurt, but I like it because Allah. What does this even mean? It's beyond me. I'm just explaining what has been said for us to work our way. Someone that's as low as me can't really feel what this means. I'm just trying to explain these words that have been said. Hopefully, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the lower level taklif, lower level obligations that we perform, avoiding sin, just like the companions of Imam al-Husayn in Karbala. How did they reach a point where on the night of Ashura, they become so pure that Imam al-Husayn says, you are elevated beyond the basic obligations. Now you're given the opportunity to stay in Karbala because you love what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants and loves. Not because there's a basic, that's lifted, leave if that is the case. You won't be punished. You won't be punished. If you're here because you think, oh, if you do this, God is going to punish you. No, there's no punishment. It's been lifted. How did they reach that? By doing the basic obligations. By going through the basic obligations. This is our path. This is the part we all understand. This is what I understand. Okay, it's difficult. Yeah, I like that sin, that thing that God has considered a sin. He's forbidden us from doing it. I see it. It's around and it seems very pleasant. It seems like it would be something I would enjoy. And temptation is high. But I'm like, okay, you know, I have to avoid it. The obligation is there. I don't like to wake up in the morning, splash my face with cold water for wudu. Wake up that early in the morning. But I push myself. I do it. I don't like people looking at me, giving me stares when I dress or act the way God has mentioned. Sometimes I would feel, a lot of us are going, these are basic examples. Walking, unfortunately, or fortunately, it's not our choice, you know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's dress code for men is a little different than the dress code for women. When I'm walking with my wife, with my daughter, or with my sister, and at that point, they're wearing hijab, and you feel awkward, the stares, this, that, the other. It's not pleasant. We may choose, okay, you know, we don't want that. Let's change the way we do things. But we push ourselves. Okay, well, it's not the most pleasant thing. You get different treatments. If you look Muslim, the cashier will treat you differently. The worker will treat you differently in many cases. We push ourselves to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. If we keep doing that consistently, we can reach a point where what we do is no longer because we're pushing ourselves and there's simply an obligation. No, we've moved beyond that. These shuhada of Karbala, you see the result of them passing those tests. I don't know if I can get this across, if we can really picture this. You know how awkward sometimes it feels when you know people around you are not comfortable with you because you're Muslim. Well, in this case, they are less than 100 people or around 100 people. There's 34,000 people standing there laughing at them, mocking them, cursing at them, have their arrows, their spears against them. How would you move towards this enemy when you see you're so grossly outnumbered? If it's me, I would hide. I wouldn't even go. I would say, okay, if they want to kill me, let them come. I'm not even going to face them. Let them come and get me. Okay, they're going to kill me. They're going to kill me. To stand straight, move towards them, be proud, chant against them. This shows that this person is on a completely different level. These things don't bother them anymore. They're seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala present. This is what Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayh did to his companions on that night. By putting them in that position to make that choice. ask, I don't know, maybe all of us can ask, inshallah, all of us in our hearts do ask, as low as I am, and I know I fail at that basic level obligation, I fail at that many times. God knows if the curtains would be lifted, you would realize how horrible this person that is speaking about all these good things is. Okay, but I ask, as horrible and as low as I am, and inshallah you all who are better than me can ask as well, the Imam of our time, help us get to a level that towards him we come to a state where when we know he tells us God wants something, we wouldn't be pushing ourselves because of an obligation. We would be willing to sacrifice whatever it is. The way the ashab of Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi did on the day of Ashura, inshallah we all receive that blessing from the Imams, from Imam al-Husayn, from Imam al-Hujjah, the mother of the Imams, Imam Sayyida Fatima salamullahi alayha. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا مظلوم أيها الشهيد بكربلا عطشانا May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Imam al-Husayn. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved oppressed Imam. Ruhi fidak. The Imam was slaughtered by the shores of the Euphrates, while his mouth was dry of thirst. Ya Mawla, tonight is the night of Abbas. Today, apparently, was the day of the 7th. The accounts say on this day, they cut off the water supply to the Ahlul Bayt. From this time onwards, Abbas has to fight to get water for the children of Hussein. Ya Mawla, let's see ourselves in Karbala. Amongst the tents of Hussein, there's only two more nights before Ashura. There's only two more nights that Zainab will see her Abbas. Ruhi fidakum. Ya Abbas, while you were around, Zainab felt secure. While you were around, no one dared get near the tents. While you were alive, there was hope. Ali and Al-Asghar would get water. While you were alive, Hussein's back was straight. Ruhi fidak, ya Mawlai. As-salamu alayk, ayyuhal abdu al-salih. المطيع لله ولرسوله ولأمير المؤمنين. How worthy a companion you were, Ya Abbas, for Hussein. The day before Ashura, they came to steal Abbas from Hussein. What were they thinking? Shimr came close to the khiyam, asking for Abbas. Abbas didn't even respond. Imam al-Hussein told him, go ahead, see what he has to say to you. Shimr said to him, I have letters. If you leave Hussein, no one will touch you. He said, shame on you. La'natullah alayk. You want me to leave the son of Zahra? On the day of Ashura, he didn't leave Hussein's side until he was tasked to get water. When the little ones came crying for water, the thirst had gotten to them. The account says the Imam asked Abbas to bring some water from the Sharia. They say Abbas made it to the Sharia. The enemy realized the way Abbas is moving towards the Sharia to get water, there's no way to stop him. Let's gather our forces. We can ambush him on the way back. Abbas enters the Sharia. Abbas is very tall. His feet, while he's on the horse, reach the water. Abbas is thirsty. Imagine, while you're so thirsty, you feel the coolness of the water. It says Abbas grabbed some to drink some. فَذَكَرَ عَطَشَ الْحُسَيْنِ. He remembered the thirst of his brother Hussein. He spilled it, filled his water skin, started back towards the khiyam. He sees his path clear, he's moving closer. Suddenly an ambush, they attack him from all sides. He's trying to keep the water skin clear from the arrows, fighting with his right arm. A mal'oon finds a chance from behind him, strikes the right arm of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. He hands the sword to his left arm. Wallahi in qata'tumu yamini, inni uhami abadan an dini. I will never leave Hussein. I want to get this water to the tents. He rides while he's fighting. Another mal'oon, again from behind, strikes his left arm. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas perhaps now kicks his horse. No matter how many arrows hit me, if I can protect the water, I would rather get to the tents of Hussein. But suddenly he sees an arrow pierce through the water skin. Abbas now has no hope of getting water. Perhaps he's thinking, I can't can't go to the tent. I promised the children water. He changes direction to move away. Another mal'oon strikes Aba al-Fadl al-Abbas with an iron rod on his head. La ilaha illallah. This tall man is about to fall from the horse, but Abbas has no arms to break his fall. Ya Allah, Abbas falls to the ground. A call is heard. Ya akha, adrak akhak. Oh brother, I want to see you one last time. Hussein rushes to find his brother on the ground. Ya Allah, what is now Hussein seeing of his brother Aba al-Fadl al-Abbas? Ya Abbas, you were Qamar Bani Hashim. What did they do with your beautiful face? What happened to your aunt? Imam al-Hussein stands. It is heard, they say, he said, Al-an inkasara dhahri. Now my back broke. I don't know. I think when Imam al-Hussein went back to the tents, the children saw Abbas is not there. Perhaps they were too shy to come and ask Imam al-Hussein, what happened to our uncle? Imam al-Hussein, some have said, went over and pulled down the rod from the tent of Abbas, signaling Abbas is gone. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin wa sayalamu al-lazina zalamu ayyamun qalabin yanqalibun. Ya Hussein.
Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas.